All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. On a morning of abrupt beginnings, it's Wednesday, November 18th. I'm John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee, and we're exploring the inner workings of the unemployment rate this morning. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning. Since you mentioned the unemployment rate, we all know that the unemployment rate is above 10%, but really the true on-the-ground unemployment rate differs depending on your gender, your color, and where you live. We're going to talk about that. Also, lots of people are talking about LeBron James' unemployment status. His contract in Cleveland is up soon.
Unemployed.
Soon.
He's working pretty.
He can change
hard.
Jobs.
Yes,
where will he go? And Freakonomics author Stephen Dubner answers an essential question. Are human beings basically good or evil?
But first, our friend and takeaway listener Francine Morin joins us. At one point this year, Francine, you were a part of that unemployment rate. You lost your job in February. Your severance package ran out in May. And now in your first week on a brand new job, what's it like to have kind of made it to the other side? I mean, is it a little like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz?
Oh, yes. I've been clicking my heels ever since. I'm just delighted.
And, I mean, do you feel like you've made it through something that is really different from the way your life used to be before?
Yeah, I had to reassess what was important to me. I really am proud that I'm working for another organization that's helping people. That's what I do best. And I had to take a rollback in pay, but the exchange is a full suite of benefits, and I just feel really happy that I'm functioning again.
So the benefits are kind of like your ruby slippers there, Dorothy, but did any of your old skills make it into your new workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a manager before. I'm going to be a clerical staff now, but I'm going to be a clerical staff with a tremendous amount of knowledge on how to handle very high-level situations. So all of the experiences that I've had up to this point has made me more better equipped to deal with these challenges now. And the challenges are really more financial than anything else because I can do the work. And I know that I can just rebuild. It's exactly like what happened in, I would say on a micro level, like what happened in Hurricane Katrina.
Well, on the micro level, we want to look at the map of unemployment, the map of this recession in the United States, and see if we can't find the place where you are and others in America are, because it's a different experience for everyone. Francine Morin, thanks so much for being with us. And stay with us, because we're going to explore all of this in just a moment. But first, everything else you need to know this morning.
President Obama, speaking this morning before a visit to the Great Wall of China, says the U.S. relationship with Beijing is deepening.
The relationship that used to be focused just on economic and trade issues is now expanding to deal with a whole host of global issues in which U.S.-China cooperation is critical.
President Obama is scheduled to arrive in Seoul, South Korea, later this hour. Here at home, suicides in the Army are expected to hit a new all-time high this year.
The Army has reported 140 active duty suicides, which is equivalent to our total in 2008, with a month and a half remaining in the year.
Army Vice Chief of Staff General Peter Corelli says it would be the fifth year in a row that the number rose despite an aggressive campaign to combat suicides. And our partner at the New York Times says this morning many doctors are not adhering to the new advice on mammograms. Earlier this week, a federal panel recommended most women should start breast cancer screenings at age 50 instead of 40.
Here's a question people ask every day. How much taxpayer money did the government waste this year?
The total amount of improper payments was $98 billion, which is up from $72 billion in the previous year.
A mere $98 billion, according to Peter Orszag, director of the Office of Management and Budget. Most of the money was wasted on questionable claims for tax credits and Medicare benefits. Speaking of lost billions, nearly 15,000 rich Americans have admitted to cheating on their taxes by setting up offshore bank accounts. They turned themselves in as part of the IRS's amnesty program, which ended last month. The Dow looks to keeping its strong week going. It's going to open at 10,437. The S&P is just over 1,100, and the NASDAQ starts trading at a hair above 2,200. Well, when a medical panel says women should start breast exams at 50 and not 40, a lot of anxiety and confusion. Where do you stand on this? What are the value of screenings? Will you try to get one anyway? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. So we talk about unemployment rate numbers all the time, month to month. First Friday of every month, we hear what the unemployment rate was. And in the last few months, it's been rising, and right now it stands at 10.2%, the unemployment rate for the United States. And if that number is kind of an atlas of the recession, think of it as
a big picture,
a globe of the recession, with little dots for all of us real human beings. Okay, you going with me here?
Right.
All right. So where are the peaks and valleys? I mean, could we actually just find ourselves in this dreary recession geography? Aggregate numbers, of course, conceal more than they reveal. We've heard before the real unemployment rate in America, if you include the discouraged workers, those are the ones who
stopped looking
for work, right? And who aren't even, they aren't even counted, or part-timers, people who would like full-time work but can't get it. The unemployment rate is actually way over 15%. You start to break down for other groups by region. Look at ethnicity. People with disabilities up above 70%.
Right.
That's kind of the Himalayas of the recession there. So, you know, what do we begin to see? The numbers really begin to pop up and down when you separate out for different groups. And what do we need here? You know, an economist or a map maker? Well, we've got a little bit of both this morning. The bright young face of Amanda Cox, graphics editor for The New York Times. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Amanda Cox is a graphics editor at The New York Times who recently did an online project that breaks down U.S. unemployment data by race, gender, age, and education level. Now, go to thetakeaway.org. You can find a link to that on our website. You can also go to The New York Times site and find this map. First of all, Amanda Cox, good morning.
Good morning.
And what was it like to take raw data and turn it into this map, ethnic, geographic, demographic map of the recession?
I mean, it's really just an attempt to get closer, to feel these numbers that we hear every Friday a little bit more at heart. You know, we hear every month, we know that the recession has hit men harder. We know that the recession has hit black people harder. We know that the recession has hit, young people harder. So, but when we start to, like, pile those risk factors on top of each other, what do you see? It's kind of what we are hoping to do.
And the idea, I mean, if we were to look for your demographic,
sure,
young, educated woman, that would be a pretty low elevation,
yeah,
right?
I think, college-educated women of my age group, white women, I think it's like 3.6% over
Happy
the last
trails.
Year.
Wow,
which is like
that's amazing.
No recession at all, really.
Men, it starts to go downhill or uphill from there, depending on if you're looking at the number, right?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit higher for men right now, but, still college-educated, particularly white men, still very, very low.
And the idea here is to try to allow people to see themselves in this recession and compared to, how they're doing with other groups to see what they and their peers are doing, right?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, what's it like for African-American men?
Particularly young men, I think, as some rates can go up as high as 50%, black young men.
50%?
50%.
That's for black young men.
In the last year, without a high school education. So, black young men under 25.
And for aggregate number for black men is something on the order of, or for black workers, is something on the order of 17.5%.
Yeah,
Hillary Shelton joins us this morning, director of the Washington Bureau and senior vice president for advocacy and policy for the NAACP. Hillary Shelton, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
So as much as we are kind of soaring through this recessionary map and noting the peaks and valleys, this 17.5 number for African-American workers is an outrage to you and the NAACP, right?
Well, it absolutely is. And as the demographer pointed out, it's worse in many other communities. If you look in some inner-city areas like Cleveland, you'll see a 50% unemployment rate among young African-American males. So it is a major problem. And if we look at the cities and trying to stabilize communities and families, of course, it's a tremendous affront.
And the NAACP has decided to confront the president directly, calling for the White House to do more to fight unemployment. What do you want here?
Well, we're looking for more creative programs. We're looking for ways to actually build small businesses. We know that small business is the largest employer in our country, and if we find a way to do that in inner-city areas, we'll help actually stimulate the economy on a couple different fronts, including hiring people. We want to just be more creative about our approach and making sure we look at things like our universities, that we're using resources in a very smart way to tool them to be able to retrain workers, to be able to come back out and work in their communities, again, start small businesses and do other things that are very constructive. We also want to see an emphasis on infrastructure development throughout the country. That is, if we can put our resources into repairing our roads, repairing our bridges, school construction projects, we know that brings resources right into communities. It is a twofer. You actually address the issues and challenges of making sure our highways don't fall in the middle of a rush hour, but you also repair our schools to make sure our children have a good, safe, secure, and modern place in which to learn.
Hillary, you know, I couldn't be more sympathetic to your message, and I absolutely believe that we should bring more attention to minorities and to groups like African Americans, like Latinos, like disabled people who are suffering disproportionately during this recession and from unemployment. But is there a certain amount of just PR that's involved in asking this of the president? I mean, how much control does the president have over these issues that are so complex and so much of a problem in our societal structure that, I mean, really, can Barack Obama solve the problem of disparities in employment?
Well, Barack Obama is the president of the United States. He is the CEO of the country. And very well, he's made the commitment. It's not as if this is something that he's disagreed with. He wants to see these kind of issues addressed. He said it during his campaign. He said it during the transition process. And he said it since he's been in office. And very well, it's not as if we have to twist his arm to do it. Just coordinate the work and make sure it actually gets done. The president provides the leadership, the catalyst, the bully pulpit, and then pull together government agencies, the private sector, and not-for-profit organizations like the NAACP and others. It's the kind of construct that will get this job done.
But Hillary Shelton, a lot of that was supposed to have already been done with the stimulus package. Am I hearing you, just to follow up on what Celeste said, am I hearing you saying the president hasn't done enough, that this White House has not done enough?
I think the White House has done an excellent job up to this point. That is, he walked into and inherited a real mess in this country, an economy that was going south, very well corporations that were going out of business, and the unemployment rate was beginning the spiral that we're experiencing right now. The next step, and he's taken the right first steps. The first step was to stabilize the economy,
right.
To make sure we have a foundation in which we can build economically, including small businesses and jobs. The second step is to address the issues that have been an impediment also and a real challenge to our business community. And that, of course, is the issue of our health care in our country.
All right. And that's certainly something that's happening right now in the Congress. So Hillary Shelton, director of the Washington Bureau and senior vice president for advocacy and policy for the NAACP. Amanda Cox, we leave the higher elevations of unemployment of African-American workers and moved to Frances Morin, who's a college-educated woman who's just gotten a new job. Frances Morin, quickly before we go, do you see yourself on Amanda Cox's map there?
Well, actually, I think I'm kind of a fortunate that I don't think race isn't a factor in any of my hiring history so far.
But 3.5% unemployment rate for college-educated women, you've benefited from that directly, haven't you?
I think I have, although I only have really an associate's degree equivalent in this country. It's really based on my career path that I've taken that I've been able to get the jobs that I've been able to get.
All right, Francine, before we go, how much of a pay cut did you take for this new job?
It was $20,000.
Wow. Well, good luck to you. We will check in with you again. Francine Morin, Takeaway listener, now working in a new job as an administrative assistant at a nonprofit. Amanda Cox, are you updating your map in ways that might suggest we've hit bottom?
Yeah, I think we have seen it. We've seen, for the last 4 months, the rate for college-educated people has stayed flat. It has stopped rising.
So. All right. Amanda Cox, graphics editor, our partner in the New York Times, with some good news. Go and look at that New York Times, Matt. There's a link to it at thetakeaway.org. And now let's check in 16 minutes past the hour with some headlines quickly.
In the past few minutes, President Obama told CBS News he's angry about leaks from his deliberations on more troops for Afghanistan. He said such disclosures are a firing offense. And here in the United States, Army suicides are on track to top last year's totals. 140 active duty soldiers are believed to have committed suicide so far this year.
Despite new recommendations that most women start breast screening at 50 rather than 40, many doctors say they're not ready to make such a drastic change. That's according to our partner, the New York Times. The recommendations issued by a federal advisory panel reversed widely promoted guidelines. And some news we're getting just now, Somali pirates have attacked a U.S.-flagged container ship off the coast of East Africa. Reports say the ship has not been taken over. That's a look at some of the stories we're watching this morning.
Coming up, where will LeBron James go if he leaves Cleveland?
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.